what's going on? It's Wednesday, October 9th. I'm Jeff. This is the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast, getting you caught up on all the latest around the NFL on today's show. We're going to rip through a couple of the latest stories, including, yes, Nico Collins going to short-term injured reserve. We'll break down what that means for fantasy purposes for the Houston Texans, at least in the short term here. Just a friendly reminder, FTNFantasy.com, promo code RADPACK will actually get you 10% off, and that's any subscription over at FTNFantasy.com. We also have a merch store, and I'm being told that new merch has dropped in the store, but that's the only place to get RADPACK merch right now, by the way. We got a lot of other stuff too, so go check that out, FTNFantasy.com. All right, let's lead with the story in Houston. I'll also talk about Robert Saleh. I did talk about that on my other podcast, The Rant, yesterday. We learned a little bit more about what actually happened, but really the overall outlook doesn't change for me here. But let's talk about Collins first. So Nico Collins with the hamstring issue did end up going to short-term injured reserve. And just as a reminder, it's 4 games, not 4 weeks, but it doesn't matter. Their bye week isn't until late in the season. So he'll miss at least 4 games. That would put him on the short end of the spectrum to return in week 10. Now, if you have Collins, obviously a month is a lot better than 2 months or end of season, you know, season over like Rashee Rice, but still it's not optimal. Either way, I would do my best to try and hold on to him. We know how much of a game changer he is when he's on the field. We've seen it over the last season and a half here, roughly, for the Houston Texans with C.J. Stroud under center. So you have that. If you have a short bench, well, this is part of the reason why short bench leagues suck. And I'm sorry if that offends you, but they do. They suck. They limit your ability to play fantasy football. And that's not fun because we want to have the ability to play fantasy football. So if you have a short bench, you have a tough decision to make. I don't envy you. Do you carry this guy through the month or not? If you have an IR spot, it's a good use of an IR spot. I don't like anything more than a month or so with a guy on an IR spot, but this is no issue. So use the IR spot for him. If you have a deeper bench, you could obviously hold on to him. But if you have that short bench, maybe you consider trying to trade him away. Obviously, you're selling on him, which sucks, but it's a tricky predicament. In the short term, the biggest beneficiaries, well, the two wide receivers first and foremost of Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell, they stand to benefit arguably the most because, well, they're the wide receivers. Tank Dell, after a slow start to the season, he was a little banged up, obviously. Now will be in the wide receiver 2 conversation most weeks. Stephon Diggs in the wide receiver 1 conversation, at least for this week, he certainly is. In my initial set of rankings, and just a friendly reminder, initial rankings release every Tuesday over at FTNFantasy.com. They evolve, they change. In fact, I've already updated, I think, 7 different times this week now as of me recording this podcast. But I have Diggs at 7, wide receiver 7, and Tank Dell is just on the outside of the wide receiver 2s looking in. He could fluctuate, but yeah, back-end wide receiver 2 is a fair view of him. Now, I've been asked a lot about who replaces Nico Collins. And, you know, I really don't think it's Robert Woods. His skill set is much closer to Stephon Diggs than it is to Nico Collins. I do think it's Xavier Hutchinson. And yes, Iowa State product. So this is not a helmet scouting comp. I'll be honest with you. I did just see similar playing style, but he reminds me of kind of a souped up Alan Lazard. That isn't the greatest comp in human history. I get it, but it's actually not that bad. Now, here's the thing. Am I running out to grab him? No, because I actually don't think he's the number 3 beneficiary. I'll get to that in a moment. But if I'm in a deeper league and waivers picked over and I need a little bit of help, I don't hate the idea of running out and trying to grab him. In fact, I did in a 14-team league that is super, super deep. So, yeah, that's where we are on that. Now, he could surprise. He could do like Juju Smith-Schuster and prove me wrong. I didn't think Juju had that in him. He did. He showed it. Now, he made 1 mistake in that game, but still, he went out and he put up numbers for the Kansas City Chiefs, and I actually think they're somewhat sustainable. So, Hutchinson could surprise me, but generally speaking, I don't view him as a viable fantasy option this week outside of, say, DFS. I have him at wide receiver 70 currently in my rankings. So that's where we are on that front. The third beneficiary is Dalton Schultz, and he's actually out there in about half of fantasy leagues as of the start of this broadcast. So you still might be able to grab him. Is he a set and forget tight end? No, of course not. But he could be a top 12 tight end going forward for the next month, which is more than a lot of us have had so far. So that's everything on that front. Let me talk about the Robert Saleh stuff. So this story has been a little wild, obviously. He reportedly removed Nathaniel Hackett from play calling duties. Like, so Nathaniel Hackett was just an offensive coordinator in name only, and the play calling duties were to go to Todd Downing. Now, roughly 5 minutes later was when Saleh was fired, you know, give or take, at least according to the reporting. Now, we have no idea whether or not this is a coincidence, if it's connected. I don't know. I'm not willing to do the conspiracy theory thing. And honestly, I saw on the internet today, imagine this, crazy stuff. There are people who have theories, hypotheses as to conspiracy theories as to why he was fired. I'm not even going to reiterate them because they are such crap and like so easily disproven. If you even, as the people like to say, do your research, even if you did a little bit of research, you would see how stupid the theories are. This dude was not a winning head coach. I think he's a great defensive coordinator, and I think he will continue to be a great defensive coordinator after this season. But the team sucked on his watch. Like, the defense was good, but I mean, the record speaks for itself. That's why this dude was fired. Plain and simple. Now, the story is pretty wild. So he was actually escorted from the building with the director of security for the team. Now, I think that was a little overblown because it made it sound a lot worse than what it really is. According to Rich Cimini, this is actually just protocol. He said it's not like he had to be forcibly removed from the premises or anything of that nature. Rich Cimini knows the team better than anybody, so I take his word for it. You know, this was not how Adam Gase was fired. He was not escorted from the building, but maybe in today's era, that's just what they do. Fine, whatever. Now, the team apparently does not plan on firing Nathaniel Hackett, according to Diana Rossini, so that's weird. Jeff Ulbrich said they're going to take a deep dive on the offensive side of the ball to explore all these possibilities. It sounds like he does want to change some things. Don't know what those things are. Don't know if Todd Downing is going to get another crack at potentially being the play caller, but I will tell you this. If you are the offensive coordinator and your play calling duties are removed, like you're an offensive coordinator who calls plays, like not obviously Kyle Shanahan's play call or offensive coordinator or like Sean McVay or any of these head coaches who call plays. But if you're the play caller, you're the offensive coordinator and that's removed from you, what's the point of you being there? Like, you just lost your job, even though you weren't fired. Like, you can stick around, collect your paycheck and all that. You're done. You're toast. So I don't know what's going to happen here. I will tell you this. A lot of times we will see, and there's no quantifiable aspect to this. This is more observational for me. But we will see teams after a head coach is fired. If the writing was on the wall for that, if the head coach had lost the locker room, if it was a miserable experience or just not even a fun experience, doesn't even have to be miserable, and then that head coach is gone, the team has a little bit of a bump. We saw it with the Raiders last year. We saw, you know, over the years, a variety of teams. It's not a surprise when the head coach gets fired in the middle of the season and the team goes out and wins a game. It's not a surprise. But I don't know how sustainable that's going to be. However, I will tell you this. Still a buy-low window on Breece Hall. Not a buy-low window on Garrett Wilson because he's coming off of a big game. I don't really want anything else to do with this team. And I don't know if Davante Adams is actually going to be traded here because Schefter reported that the two places that he was about to be potentially traded to, well, they both had major things happen. And I'll talk about the second one here in a minute. But the first one was obviously Robert Saleh being fired. Like, now what do you do? Now, I'm not saying that Adams was going there for Saleh because he certainly wasn't. But that's a major organizational decision. Not to mention, you know, trading for a wide receiver, which is still a pretty big organizational decision. It's not obviously as big as firing your head coach, but there's a lot of moving pieces there. Now, the other team, okay. The other team who is potentially in the mix is the New Orleans Saints. And really, the only reason Adams would want to go there is to play with his guy, Derek Carr, his college quarterback, who he briefly got to play with the Raiders. Well, Derek Carr is going to miss a lot of time. I don't know exactly how much time. He has not been placed on injured reserve as of now. I don't know if that's a possibility. I haven't seen reporting one way or the other, but he's going to miss time. And so that takes that potentially off the table. Now, let's dive into that. Let's forget about Devontae Adams for right now. Derek Carr is slated to miss time. The Saints put in Jake Haener on Monday night, and Jake Haener looked like Jake Haener, which is not good. So, the Saints do have an interesting player waiting in the wings. They did draft Spencer Rattler on day three of this past draft. Spencer Rattler's had a lengthy journey to get to this point of his career. At one point, he was one of the top prospects, high school prospects in the nation. Then he was one of the top young quarterbacks in the nation, a potential Heisman hopeful, a potential first overall pick is what a lot of people were saying. And in that Heisman hopeful season, halfway through the year, he lost his job to Caleb Williams. Now, granted, Caleb Williams is pretty stinking good, but Rattler had some revitalizing to do in his career. And he, I mean, for all intents and purposes, I think he did it. Like, there was a point where people were like, this dude's never even going to be in the NFL. And he revitalized things at South Carolina to the point where, yes, he did get drafted. He wasn't a UDFA. And honestly, played decent in the preseason. Like, he can push the ball vertically just like Derek Carr can. So maybe he's the starter. I do think he should be rostered in Superflex just in case. And we're going to have a multi-week streamer there during the bye weeks. That's beneficial. If your Superflex leagues are anything like mine, they are extremely picked over at quarterback. So Rattler could be in there. I don't think it really changes the outlook dramatically for Shahid or Olave. Both of those guys, maybe a slight bump down, at least in the short term, and then we'll see what Rattler can do. I mean, I'm not saying Rattler's as good as Derek Carr, but I'm saying he can get the ball into their hands. He was certainly more than good enough for Xavier Leggett last year at South Carolina. So we have that going for us in New Orleans, and no impact on Alvin Kamara. I still have Kamara at wide receiver three for the week. Chris Olave, he's down in the wide receiver threes for right now at 29. Usage recently hasn't been optimal. He's actually much closer to Shahid. Shahid didn't really move that much. He's at 34. So they're both wide receiver threes, and let's see what we have. They're both startable. They're very startable if you play three or four wide receivers in your starting lineups. So there we go on that front. Let me zip through a few things elsewhere that are important for this week. First and foremost, Devin Singletary trending in the right direction. So we'll see what ends up happening with Tyrone Tracy this week. This is according to Brian Daboll. So he could be back out there. I think the toothpaste is out of the tube a little bit here on Tyrone Tracy, and it's only a matter of time before he takes over. But so if he doesn't play as much this week as Singletary, don't freak out. Like, I think this is a long-term play. No Mixon in practice. Damian Pierce did practice. That backfield's still a mess. We have no idea if Mixon's even going to play this week, which that totally sucks. Khalil Shakir not practicing. I don't know where we're going to be on that one. This feels like a couple week absence, but we got to see what the practice reports say through the week. I will talk more about the practice reports on my podcast, The Rant. This week's a little bit of an interesting schedule because I do have something on Friday, so I may end up having to do like a Saturday morning podcast. We'll see. But anyway, more about that later. That's on the other feed, though, so make sure you subscribe to that. No James Cook in practice with a foot/toe injury. Believed to be turf toe is what I was hearing, but nothing clear here yet. So with James Cook, it's the first practice of the week. I don't freak out over the first practice of the week. We need three practice reports. Other than concussions, we need three practice reports. David Njoku has a knee issue, but he is going to be practicing. However, his teammate, Nick Chubb, we don't know if he'll be activated this week. Kevin Stefanski, the head coach of the Browns, saying anything's possible, which is not a ringing endorsement. Anything's possible. Usually that means no, not at least this week, but I think we're inching closer towards it. I hope this doesn't go to a season-ending IR. Because remember, you open up that window, you have 21 days. If those 21 days expire, the player automatically goes to season-ending injured reserve. Anthony Richardson practicing today. I mean, he did get some limited work in last week too, so it's no guarantee that he plays. We'll see if he's able to actually get out there this week. I currently have Flacco ranked at 20. So I don't expect it, but you know, it is early in the week. By the way, Jerome Ford, we're coming to the end of the line on him. He's a RB3, like a flex option at 27 in my running back rankings, the initial over at ftnfantasy.com. I think those are the big things today. A couple other things to tie up from yesterday. So as I mentioned, Rashee Rice he's out. We know that he had surgery. So it's an LCL. It's not an ACL, which is better, but it's not good. He still technically could be designated to return, but I would not expect that during the regular season. I think that's a postseason thing. And even then, they're probably up against it. I don't see it happening. So what did we see? We saw Juju Smith-Schuster play pretty good. Actually, the best we've seen Juju Smith-Schuster play in years, honestly. It was his best yardage output since 2018. Can he actually be the Rashee Rice role in that offense? I mean, I think he can do like a 85 to 90% of Rashee Rice. So if Rashee Rice is a wide receiver one, then Juju could be a wide receiver three going forward. And so honestly, those guys don't grow on trees on waivers. I was able to get Juju for nothing, like literally peanuts last night because nobody pays attention to the guys going into buy. So Juju, the other player too, by the way, is Ty Chandler because Aaron Jones is being called week to week. They're heading into bye. Usually no news is good news, and that's especially true when you go into bye. We got news, and it's not good news. The team also signed Miles Gaskin to the 53-man roster. That's not good for Aaron Jones. Now, don't freak out, but I'm saying, like, could it be a couple weeks even after their bye? Yes. Honestly, yes. But Juju, Aaron Jones, or not Aaron Jones, Ty Chandler, you can get those guys dirt cheap right now. Dirt cheap. And not bad ads, either one of them. Let's see. Jaylen Warren, Cordero Patterson, both. Well, Patterson's already ruled out. Like, even before they practiced, he's ruled out. And then Warren is already doubtful. This could end up being a lost season for Warren. I mean, he was hurt coming in. Now he's hurt again. And just not working. And then obviously Najee is not effective. The door is ajar, according to Mike Tomlin, for Russell Wilson to be active. I think the door is ajar for Russell Wilson to eventually be the starter if Justin Fields can't get things back on track. The last couple weeks have not been good for him after a really nice start to the season. So something to note there as well. I do still have Fields as a back-end quarterback one. I have met 11 in my rankings for this week. By the way, Najee Harris, 17, but a very boring 17 among running backs. So there's still that. Drake May will be the starter this week for the Patriots. So I thought it would be week five. I was 1 week off. Not too shabby there. I figured it would be in this range. And yeah, he's going to be out there. He's now super flex viable, but let's be really clear. He's only quarterback 26 for me this week. This does not mean I run out and grab all the Patriots receivers. He's not, you know, this is not the next coming of Drew Bledsoe for this team, at least from the start. Let's see how he does first, as opposed to just dropping haphazardly guys who we probably shouldn't drop. We'll see what happens with the Raiders quarterback situation. Apparently, they're going to compete in practice between Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell. Like, that's bananas to me, by the way. That, like, it's mid-October. This is something you do in, like, not even mid-August. Hopefully, you have it settled by mid-August. Like, that's a little crazy, but welcome to your 2024 Las Vegas Raiders. Like, this is par for the course. Everything's lackluster there except Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers is not lackluster. He's my number two tight end. And honestly, not only number two tight end for this week, I would say probably number two tight end for the season. Kittle is number one. Bowers, and just this is off the top of my head. And then, like, Kelsey is right there too. But man, Kittle's been awesome. All right. That's going to do it for today. Remember, Mike Randall puts out a Sunday night edition of this podcast recapping all the action. So subscribe for that. Subscribe to my podcast, The Rant with Jeff Ratcliffe. FTNFantasy.com at Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram. Catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff and I'm out. I wish I could.
I knew how to